Okay, so we began yesterday. We had a small crowd, but nonetheless a crowd. We began our Chazara on Daf Chof Gimel Amud Aleph. And we're going to continue now, Be'ezus Hashem Yisborach. We are on the third very wide line. The third very wide line. This sugya was a rather complicated sugya first time round, but now that we've learned it, Mitzvah Hashem, it should be hopefully much easier this time round. Says the Gemara on the third wide line, Ze Poisel Dayonoi. This was a quote of Reb Meir's Shitta. Reb Meir holds that each side can passel the Edim of the other. That's what it sounds like, simply speaking. And of course, as we all now remember well, it turns out that it's not as simple as it seems, because it cannot be that you could simply just go around passing other people's Edim. Says the Gemara, or Dayanim for that matter. Says the Gemara, Ze Posel Dayanai. Says the Gemara, Kol Kamine the Posel Dayani? Question mark. Kol Kamine means, is that his power? Is that his koyach? Does he have the koyach to passel other people's dayonim? On what basis? Again, we're talking about these erkois, these so-called batei dinim in Surya, but the dayonim are not that competent. So therefore, even though he doesn't have a specific halachic basis to disqualify these edim, but because they are well known to be not that competent, that's why you can dismiss them. But it's your choice. If you don't want to dismiss them, then you can accept their psak. Avol mumchin loy. If, however, we're talking about well-known proper mumchin, then you cannot passel them. Says the Gemara, what's going on? Oh, midaktani sefer. But since we've learned in the sefer, it says, v'chachomim oimrim, emosai bizman shemevi raya shein kreven oi psulim. Avlim hoyuk shein amumchim epi bezdin, eino yochal apoislon, quote unquote. All of that is a quote from the Sefer where it says that the Chachamim disagree and they say, I'm sorry, but if they are mumchim, then you cannot passel them. So what does that show us? The Rebbe Meir clearly holds that you can. Michlal, the Rebbe Meir, mumchim, nami ka'omar, question mark. If the Chachamim say, I'm very sorry, you cannot passel mumchim, well, clearly that indicates that Rav Meir, however, disagrees and says that you jolly well can. So how can you tell me that Rav Meir agrees that you can only passel these incompetent Dayanim from Surya, but mumchim not? But the Chachamim were the ones who turned round and says, mumchim not. So obviously Rav Meir holds that mumchim, yes, you can passel them. Says the Gemara, no, hochi ka'oma, this is what's meant. When the Chachamim said, avol im hoyu sheirim nasu kam mumchin mipi bezdin ben yachol ha'faislam. Not that the Chachamim was stressing that you cannot passel mumchin, as if to suggest that Rameh says you can, but rather what the Chachamim meant was, as far as we're concerned, if they are dayonim ksheirim, it is considered as if they are mumchim, and you therefore cannot passel them. So Rav Meir would say you can't passel them only if they are known as mumchim. The Chachamim would say once they are kosher, remember kosher just means they're not rishoyim, they're not mechallel Shabbos, etc., etc., then that would be considered as if we know they are mumchim. So therefore there's no machlokes in this particular point. Everybody agrees that if the dayanim are mumchim, you cannot passel them. That's not a discussion. According to Rav Meir, however, that's only if they are known to be mumchim, whereas according to the Chachamim, as soon as we know they're kosher, we just automatically assume them to be mumchim, unless we know otherwise. Toshima. We have another braisa. It says, Omru loy l'Rav Meir. The Chachamim turned round to Rav Meir and they said, Loy kol heimenu, it's not his koyach, she poisel dayon, she mumcha l'rabim. Well, there it seems to be pretty clear. The Chachamim turn around and they say to Rameh, you cannot possibly passel a Dayan who's a mumcha to the Rabbi. So what does that mean? The Rameh, however, clearly holds that you can. So why did you tell me that Rameh himself agrees that you cannot passel a mumcha the Rabbi? But the Chachamim turn around and they were the ones who claimed you cannot passel a mumcha the Rabbi, which clearly indicates that Rameh, however, holds that you jolly well can. Says the Gemara, what it means is, Ema, perhaps what it means is, Loi kol heimenu shepoisel dayan shehimchuhu rabim aleihem. Remember we spoke about somebody who's known to be a dayan or somebody who's just accepted as a dayan, shehimchuhu rabim aleihem. And Tanin Amahochi, indeed that's the way we've learned in a brisa, because it says, La'oilam poisel v'hoilech ad shekabil olov bezdin, Shemumcha le Rabin divrei Reb Meir. So Reb Meir holds once he's a fully qualified mumcha le Rabin, a well-established mumcha le Rabin, there is no way you can passel. If, however, it's somebody who's just been accepted by the Rabin, but nobody's actually checked out his qualifications, then he can be passel. Okay. So either way, it turns out, and this is all the introduction now to the main sugya. It turns out in the final analysis, the Reb Meir admits you cannot passel a dayon mumcha. At best, you can either passel a incompetent dayon or a dayon who's been accepted by the rabbin but not officially established as a competent dayon. But if he's a fully competent mumcha, you cannot passel. And if that's the case, now we get to the $64 million question. What about Eidim? Every Eid is effectively a mumcha. There's no qualification or competence needed to be an Eid. You just need to be a kosher Jew. Says the Gemara on the fourth last wide line. Vaha Eidim. Kamumchim domi question mark. Va'omar Reb Meir zeh poisel eidel shel zeh v'zeh poisel she'esel zeh question mark. If you're telling me that Reb Meir himself admits that you cannot passel a dayon mumche, well, every aid is basically comparable to a dayon mumche. Why? Because there's no certification or competence needed to be an aid. You just need to be a kosher Jew. And if that's the case, then every aid is considered a mumcha. So why does Reb Meir hold that you can passel the aidim if he agrees that you cannot passel a dayon mumcha? So why can you passel an aid? Every aid is effectively a dayon mumcha. Okay, so if you remember in the final analysis, how many terutzim did we see? We see four terutzim. So it's worth numbering them, maybe in your Gemara as we go along. Number one, Ha Itmar Allah. We learned concerning this statement, Omer Esh Lakish Peh Kodosh Yoimar Dovo Zer. Yes, Resh Lakish indeed exclaimed, did the holy mouth of Reb Meir really say this? It must be Tony Eidoi. Underline the word Eidoi. So Resh Lakish says, we have no choice but to say, it cannot possibly be that Reb Meir actually says that you can passel the Eidim. That can't be. So therefore, it must be that the Mishnah should not state Eidov in the plural, but rather Eidoi in the singular. So this will be our first teretz. There's going to be a bit of a discussion about it coming up in a second, but this is teretz number one. Yes, indeed, Reb Meir admits you absolutely cannot passel competent Eidim, but if it's Eidoi in the singular, you can. Now the question is, what exactly is the case? Says the Gemara, Eidoi Lamai. What does that mean, a single aid? How can a single aid have any credence anyway? Lamai. Ilema Lamaman. If you're talking about a financial case, then anyway, Rachmona Pasle, and the Torah has passled him. I don't need the litigant to passel him. He's passel anyway. Why is he passel anyway? Because as we know, you have to have two edim. One edim is useless. So what exactly does that mean? That Rav Meir holds you can passel a single ed. A single ed is passel anyway. Ilah shvua. If you're talking about not a financial case, but the ability for an ed echad to be machayev shvua, then heimune mehemun kebetrei. Well, then he definitely has the ne'emonus of two edim. Remember, we said two edim can extract money, but one ed, but one ed can be machayev shvua. So, with regard to being machayev shvua, he has the whole status of two edim. So, how can you passel him? So therefore, either way, we don't understand. If it's a financial case, he's useless anyway. And if it's a shvua, he's a perfectly good aid. So how could you passel him? Says the Gemara, la'olam la'moman. We are talking about financial matters. Ah, financial matters. Don't we need two aidim for that anyway? No. We're talking about, remember that case, that he has accepted upon himself this aid echod. It's my prerogative to do that. To say, even though he's only an Eid Echod, but I'm willing to accept his evidence, and if he testifies against me, I'm mechuyev to pay money, so be it, I accept it. That type of case, says Rav Meir, you can passel the Eid, not the Eidim, the Eid Echod. Which means that initially he accepted his Eidus, meaning the Eid Echod came to Bezdin, and he says, listen, I'll be perfectly honest, I'm only a single Eid. I'm not a group of two edim. So one of the litigants said, the loiva says, fine, that's okay by me. I'm prepared to accept this edus, even though it's only one aid. And then he changed his mind. He said, on second thoughts, I'd like to dismiss this aid. I want to passel him. I claim that he's a Machal Shabbos, he's this, that, the other. So were it to be two edim, you can't possibly testify because the Torah gives them their monos. Who are you to argue with the Torah? But over here, I'm not arguing with the Torah because the Torah never said that an Eid Echod is kosher. I'm the one who installed power in him by allowing him to testify in the first place. So it's my prerogative to back down and say, actually, on second thoughts, I've just decided that, no, you're an apostle, I don't accept you. Says the Gemara, so my kamash malom. So what are you teaching me in the final analysis? The motzi hodar bay, that he's able to retract. That's basically, in a nutshell, what you're trying to teach me. You're teaching me that he can retract. Having initially accepted this eid echad upon himself, you're now telling me that he can back down. Haven't we learned that already? Tanina, we have already learned this, because it says, Omar loy, Ne'mon olai abo, my father is believed. Initially, essentially, as we know, a father cannot be a kosher aid because he's a koroi. But if I accept his aidus, fine. Ne'mon olai avicha, or your father, or ne'mon olai gimel roye boka, three simple shepherds. We're talking about dayonim over here. Reb Meir Oimer Yochel Lachzer Boy. Reb Meir says he can be chayzer. Why can he retract? What's the common denominator between all of these three cases? I am the one who have installed power in them. Essentially, they should not be kosher because it's my father, it's your father, it's three shepherds. They don't really know any Torah. So if I'm the one who have installed power by saying initially that I believe them, I can backtrack. V'chachamim Oimrim Eino Yochel Lachzer Boy. And the Chachamim disagree, and they say, no, you cannot be Chayzer. V'omar Rav Dimi, Breder of Nachman, Breder of Yosef, Kagoyim, the Kible Oleo Bechad. We're talking about that, yes, I accepted him upon myself, even though he's only one aid, one dion. And what does Rav Meir say? That you can backtrack. So we know this already. So why are you telling me that Pshat in our Mishnah is that we're talking about one aid that I've installed power on him, and Rav Meir is teaching us that you can backtrack, you can change your mind. We know this already from the Braisa we just quoted. So Rav Meir is not really telling us anything new in the Mishnah. This is an old, long-standing principle of Rav Meir. that whenever you have installed a Dayan with Ne'emanos, you can backtrack. Well, that's exactly what it's saying in the Mishnah as well. So what's the Mechadosh? So what's the Chiddush? Says the Gemara, Tzricha. The Itana Abba Avicha. Because had we only had the second brace about my father, your father, you know what I would say? Baha Kamri Rabbanon. I'd say that's where Rabbanon disagree with Ramea, and they say that you cannot change your mind. The loy motzi hadar, but you cannot backtrack mishum the abba v'avicha chazu la'alma, because they are perfectly kosher, at least for other cases. In this particular case, you're right. They're a relative, but they are essentially kosher people and will be perfectly valid for other cases. And therefore, maybe over there, that's where Rabbanon say, that's why you cannot backtrack. But maybe in our case, Avol Chad Kebetrei, but in our case, where you're talking about a simple Eid Echod, who you've installed with Koyach, well, he's not an appropriate Eid anywhere, because an Eid Echod can never testify in a Beis Din. So it's not that he's not acceptable in our case, but he would be in others. An Eid Echod is never acceptable in any case. So maybe the Rabbanon would say, we agree to Remeya. So maybe they would agree to Remeya. That's why you can backtrack. Because not only is he not supposed to be a kosher aid in our case, but actually he's not a kosher aid in any case because he's an aid echot. So that's why I need our Mishnah to tell us that no, Remeya Chachomim still holds you cannot backtrack. And the other way around is obvious. The Yashmi'inon Baha. If I would only be taught our Mishnah, I'd say, Baha Kama Reb Meir. Maybe that's why Reb Meir says you can change your mind, because we're talking about somebody who's an Eid Echod. He's got no nemonos in any Bezdin in any case. Aval Baha, he and the Braisa of your father and my father, where it's only a disqualification in this particular case, but essentially he's kosher in other cases. Maybe he would agree to the Rabbanon that indeed you cannot change your mind, and therefore Tzricha, that's why I need both the Mishnah and also the Braisa.
Quick question. To what point in time can he retract?
Until
Aedus is presented?
Until he offers his testimony.
Okay.
Once he's actually enunciated his testimony, well, you can't backtrack now. You said you're accepting him. So just because he testified against you, you can't say, on second thoughts, I don't want it. It's too late. He's offered his testimony. Okay, so this now is the first of four answers. Again, what was the question? The question was, how can Rav Meir possibly hold you could puzzle the other one's Eidim? The answer is, it's not Eidim, it's an Eid Echod. An Eid Echod doesn't have any Nemonos anyway. We're talking about a case where I installed him with Nemonos and Rav Meir is teaching me that you can backtrack. Haven't we learned this in another Bryce already? No, we needed to be told this in this Mishnah. Says the Gemara, I don't accept that. Midaktani Reisha Dayonoi in the singular. Vesefa Eidov in the plural. Alma, we see that Dafka Ketani. I'm sorry to tell you, says the Gemara, I cannot accept that when it says Eidov in the Mishnah, it means Eid Echod. Because the Lashon of the Mishnah is so obvious, the contrast. Initially, the Mishnah talks about Dayonoi, and then switches to Eidov in the plural. So you see the obvious contrast, that the Dayon is the Yochid and the Eidim is the Rabbim. So don't tell me that when it says Eidov in the Mishnah, it means Eidoi in the singular. No, the Lashon is explicit. They're talking about Eidim. And if that's the case, we're back to square one. We cannot accept your Teretz. We're back to square one. Why on earth? How on earth could you pass all the other guys Eidim? Don't tell me we're talking about an Eid Echod. We have just proven from the Lashon of the Mishnah that we're not talking about an Eid Echad, we're talking about Eidim. So the question is right back. Okay, so now put a big number two. We're now coming to the second teretz of the Gemara. Omer Reb Elazar, b'bohu v'acher lepoislam. What was the question? How could you possibly puzzle somebody else's Eidim? The answer is, I was not doing so alone. I brought my friend Chaim with me. Ah, so therefore I'm also a group of Eidus. So I'm allowed to puzzle another group. And a perfectly valid aid, this guy together with the other one. And therefore, what was the whole kash of the Gemara was that how could you as an individual puzzle two other aids? And the answer is, I'm not an individual. I've brought somebody else with me. And if I brought somebody else with me, so I'm also myself a group of aiders. And if I myself are a group of aiders, well, there's nothing stopping me testifying against the other Edim and claiming, I'm sorry, they're disqualified. What was the Gemara's kasha? Says the Gemara, I'm sorry, it doesn't work. Kol kaminei. Again, this lashon we had before. Is that his koyach to do so? Noigeya beidusayhu? Question mark. He's noigeya. It's true. You yourself are now a group of Eidus because it's you and your friend Chaim. But you're Negeah Be'edus. What are you trying to do? You're trying to dismiss the Eidim who are testifying in your case. So how can you yourself be a witness against those Eidim? You're Negeah. You're Negeah. And that's the number one rule of Eidus, is that if you're a Negeah Be'edus, obviously you're, by definition, disqualified from testifying. Says the Gemara, Omer Bacha Breder Avika Kagoin Shekara Olov Ireir. He was declaring that there is some suspicion. What does that mean, a suspicion? Ireir Demai. Ilema, if you mean an Ireir de Gazlon, who saw that there's a suspicion that he's a Gazlon. So what are you accusing the other aid or the other aid in? That they're Gazlonim. Okay, well, again. So again, you're a negeah. How can you possibly say, yes, I claim that this aid, who's testifying in my very story, is a gazlan? Okay, well, you have every bias to want to say that, so therefore you cannot testify that. Says the Gemara, Elo Ireir the Pagam Mishpacha. We are actually not testifying against him, specifically accusing him of being a Rasha, of being, for example, a Gazlan. But rather, we are casting aspersions about the whole family. And we're saying that this entire family, this particular aide, is a member of a family who, for example, remember we saw the example in Rashi, they are Avodim, who are not properly freed, they're really going. So I'm not attacking my Eidus directly at him. That's not called Negeah. It's only called Negeah Be'edus when I'm pointing the accusing finger at the aid. I'm not pointing the accusing finger at the aid, I'm pointing the accusing finger at the entire family, which obviously includes the aid. And that's the machloikas in the Mishnah. Reb Meir says, Hani, amishpocha, komis hadi. These two people, I mean, this Reuben with his friend Chaim, are testifying against the family. The Eu, therefore, this aid memeila kapasil. Yes, will in turn be possible, but I'm not puzzling the aid. Rather, I'm testifying against the family, which, by the way, obviously includes this aid. That's not called Negeah. Big Chiddush. And the Rabbonon disagree. Rabbonon Sabri, I'm sorry to tell you, Soif Soif Negeah Beidusayu. At the end of the day, he is Negeah. What's the difference whether I testify against him directly or against his entire family, which includes him? At the end of the day, you are by hook or by crook, you are getting this aid disqualified. So who cares whether you do it the long way around against the whole family, which includes him, or you do it directly? At the end of the day, you're having him disqualified. I'm sorry to tell you, Nagea, that's the opinion of the Chacham. But Rameh, disagree. Fine. So we now have our second answer to this question. The first answer is we're not talking about two aid, and we're talking about one aid, which the Gemara didn't like. The second answer is that we're not talking about that he's testifying himself. He's brought his friend Chaim. How can he testify against him? He's a Negev Beidah. So Rameh says, no, we're talking about a very specific case in which I'm not accusing him specifically. Rather, I'm talking about his entire family, which by definition includes him. That's not called Negev. A tremendous chiddush. A tremendous chiddush. Says the Gemara, here comes the big number three. We're now coming up to the third teretz of the Gemara. Teretz number one, it's an eid echod. Teretz number two, I'm talking about the family, not him. Teretz number three, he also Rav Dimi Yomar Rav Yechanan. When Rav Dimi came along, in the name of Rabbi Yechanon, and he said as follows, Machloikes b'shtei kitei eidim. Okay, so it was complicated first time round. Now we're on the second time, at least. So it's much simpler. We know exactly what this means. We're talking about that his fellow litigant claimed that he's actually got two sets of eidim. And the machloikas is, if you make a claim like that, do you have to substantiate your claim? Do you actually have to bring that second set of Edom to Beis Din? Because if you do, then if I, the first litigant, pasul your first group, I'm not Negeir Be'edus. Why am I not Negeir Be'edus? Because the other guy is going to have to bring more Edom anyway, because he's claimed he's got a second group, and therefore I have not exempted myself. I'm only considered to be a Negeir Be'edus if my evidence exempts myself. Well, that's true if there is only one set of Edus. But if the Malve claims that he's got two sets of Edim, so when I knock out the first group, I have not exempted myself. Why not? Because he claims he's got another trick up his sleeve and he's got to produce those second set of Edim. So I'm not a Negeir. Says the Gemara, Reb Meir sovar tzorich levarer. Reb Meir says you've got to back up your claim. If you claim there are two Edim, you've got to bring that second group. Well, if I'm not a Negev Be'edus, and the Rabbonon sovi that ain't a tzorich levarer, I don't have to be mevarer. And therefore, I am Negev Be'edus because he may well not bring that second group to Beis Din. Therefore, there is only one group and I'm passing them. Avol bebas achas divrei akoyel in yochel po islam. But if there's just, but it's not bebas achas, bekas achas. If there's only one group that I'm trying to disqualify, obviously I'm a negev be'edus, and even Rameh would admit that I cannot pasul them. Omru lefonov Rav Ami Rav Asi. So one moment, ein shom elokat achas mahu. So if there's only one cut, what's the halacha? Now that's a bit of a strange question because we just said. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? Ein shom elokat achas v'ha'omrot. You said absolutely clearly, avol bekat achas divrakol einu yochel upaislam. So what exactly are you asking? Gemara says, no, you didn't understand my question. What I meant was, nimtzas kashnia kroivin oipsulin mahu. What I meant was, in the case that he had two sets of Edim, so I passel the first. According to Rameh, I'm allowed to passel the first. Why am I allowed to passel the first? Because I'm not negay, I'm not exempting myself, because there's still another cut of Edus to be brought. But guess what? When the second group of Edim were brought, it turns out they were psulim. So in the final analysis, what did it really turn out? How many groups of Edim were there, in fact? There were not two, there were only one. Ah, so retroactively, what does it turn out? That I was actually testifying against the only single group of Edus. It's true, he claimed he had two. It turned out the second one was baloney. So at the time, I didn't know that. So I wasn't Negea. But in the final analysis, I am Noigea. That was the Gemara's question. Answers the Gemara, Amalahen, Kvar, Heidu, Edim, Horishainim. Too late. The first Edim already said their thing. You had every right at the time to puzzle them. Why? Because you were not Noigea. The fact that the second group came afterwards and turned out to be psulim, okay, that's all retroactive, but at the time I didn't know that. So when I was disqualifying the Edim, they were at the time going to be followed up by another Kat Edos. I was not Negea. The fact that the second group turned out to be psulim, so retroactively is only one group, that's all irrelevant. Some say it was a different Amor, it was Rav Ashi, but it's the same Teretz. Okay, we'll hold it over here. And Be'ezat Hashem Tisborach, tomorrow, Wednesday morning, we will complete our Chazara from here all the way to the Mishnah, and then Chanukah, Be'ezat Hashem, will continue from the Mishnah onwards.